We're going to come to our third grace value on active. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your words this morning. We ask you to take your words to make it life to each one of us. We ask for this moment where we can have an encounter with you in such a special way that your words becomes life. Your words become strength. Your words, O God, becomes faith into our hearts. We commit this time to you, Lord, as we open ourselves to your words. We ask this in Jesus' name. Our third grace value, active. Our God is an active God. God is always active with the world. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 17, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." God is active. God is working. Don't you think that's good? How many of you just like to relax in life? Come on. There's a time to relax. There's a time to work. There's a time to be active. To be active is good. I'm a very active person. You know? So when I reach a certain age, I say, "Hey, I walk with my dog. I want to do something different." So I decided, why don't I go and buy a bicycle and learn how to ride bicycle? Will you believe that I do not know how to ride bicycle? You know? And of course, my grandchildren thinks I will buy a three-wheel bicycle. But I bought a two-wheel bicycle. On that day when I decided to buy bicycle, I bought two bicycles. I bought it from Gumtree. One was very cheap, $60, very old. Then on my way back, you know, I saw another Gumtree advertisement. And this was for quite a new bicycle. It was for $150. I said, let me go and buy this second bicycle. What am I going to do? Because I never learned to ride before. Let me use this old bicycle. If it's four, it's knock, never mind. When I learn how to ride, then I ride the new bicycle. So I went and bought two bicycles. And it's true. While I was learning how to ride, I fell. Cut here, cut there. And my wife said, "Why are you learning how to ride bicycle?" So I persisted and I learned how to ride bicycle. And then I told my wife, "Let me get a bicycle for you. And I'll teach you how to ride bicycle." So I have been a very active person. I know what it is to be active. And God is a very active person. He doesn't sleep, he doesn't slumber, and he's always doing. And sometimes when we think about God, so many things is happening in our world. I mean, this is only February. The things that happen in the world is quite shocking, quite frightening. You know, it's like so connected is the world. But I want you to know that God is not absent. He is not on holiday. He is neither sleep or slumber. He is in control of creation. And when things seem lost, I think people feel lost and hopeless. Like nothing is good is happening to our world. Say this word with me, suddenly. Suddenly, he will step in and he will bring order to our chaotic world so that everybody knows it is not by might, it is not by power, it is by God that he is the one that is bringing order to our world. Let's come to a bit closer. He's not only active with our world, he's active with your life. Is that right? Good. He watches over you. He cares for you 24/7. His eyes is upon you. He provides for your household. He protects your family. He leads. And he said this to you: "I know what I'm doing." I don't know about you. Sometimes I do not know what I'm doing. How many of you felt that way before? But God said, "I know what I'm doing." And will you trust him? Will you trust him? Say, "God, you are bigger than me. You are smarter than me. Definitely, you make me. I'm the clay, you are the potter. And God said, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned. That means nothing happened to you by chance. God said, I have it all planned. I know what is from the beginning. I know what is to the end. I have it all planned out. Plan to take care of you. Say amen to that. Plan to take care of you, not abandon you. Plan to give you the future you hope for. We all have a bright future. Say amen. We have a bright, we have a good future. And God say, I know what I'm doing. I am active doing it for you. God is active with the world. He's active about you. You are created in whose image? In His image. And so He wants you to be active. Active. But not just active with your own business, with your own things, but also active with the Father's business. Jesus said that in Luke, I must be about my Father's business. You know, the Luke Gospel portrays Jesus as the Son of Man, His humanity. And if you look in the Luke Gospel, the word that is spoken by Jesus is in red color. If you have those Bible, this is the first thing that Jesus said in His humility, is that I must be about my Father's business. I must be active about my Father's business. So today we're going to talk about active. We read the scripture from 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1 to verse 23. I spoke about active a few times. And each time when I spoke about active, I spoke about being active for God. Being active for God. That means serving God and serving others. When I spoke about active in the past, I talked about doing and doing. But today, I want to speak about being active from another perspective, from another angle. It is not active for God. It is being active about God. His personhood, who God is, active about God. Because we can be active in doing, but forgot about Him. Active about God. That He is the focus point. He's the center of our life. That we live our life just to please only one person, one audience. And that is not to please your children or your spouse. That is to please one person, Jesus Christ. Because we say that He is our God, our Savior, and our Lord. The life of David is a good example about a man who is active about God. He's not only active about God. David was very active for God. A lot of doing in David's life. This is how Acts chapter 13 verse 22 describes David's life. David, a man about whom God said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do. He will do everything I want him to do. So David is a doer. He's very active in doing. Now, he is so passionate that he will do what God asked him to do. He will faithfully carry out God's purpose. He will obediently fulfill God's will. But in all he's doing and doing, in all he's doing, in being active for God, David was also active about God. He's not only a doer, he's a seeker. He's not only a doer, he's a worshiper. Active about God. How many letters did Jesus wrote in the book of Revelation? Seven letters to the seven churches. Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Seven letters. It is a common trait in these seven letters that Jesus will say, I know your work. To all these seven churches, Jesus said, I know your work. You have been doing. You have been active doing. But you know, out of these seven churches, only two churches Jesus continued to say, you are not only active for me, you are active about me. These two churches was Smyrna and Philadelphia. And Jesus said that you were active about me. Active about what God held dearly. Active about what's God's honor and God's name. Active about what was important to God. They were not just doing, but they were active about being. David, a man after God's whole heart. He lived for God. He breathed for God. His whole life is a roadmap about God. For God and with God. God was his focus and the center of his life and his kingship. David was active. And when he was active in a positive way. You can be active in the wrong way, in a negative way. David was active in a positive way, but his wife Micah was active in a negative way. Be active positively about God, or you can be active negatively about others and about yourself. We read a passage today, and in this passage there are four ways that David was active about God. It was always never about himself. David was not self-centered or self-seeking or self-glory. It was never about himself. It was always about God. First, it was about God. Last, it was about God. And you see, the first thing about God is about God's honor. God's honor. In verse 1 to verse 3, David gathered 30,000 of his men. And why did he gather them? Because he wanted to bring the ark back to where he ruled as a king. Saul was king for 42 years. That's a long time. 42 years. You look in the Bible, during the time when Saul was king, it was all about who? It was about Saul. Everything was about Saul. Remember when God sent him for an assignment? Go to the Amalek and kill everything. Everything. He didn't carry out the assignment fully. He spared some of the animals. And then when Samuel came to him and Samuel said, Saul, you didn't carry out God's assignment to you. I can hear the sound of the animals. And Samuel looked at Saul and said, Saul, because you rejected God for your disobedience, God is going to reject you. And you, your kingship will finish with you. It will not continue with your children. Now, when a person did something that disobeyed God and is so obvious, what do you think you will do next? What do you think you will do next? You would expect him to respond with deep repentance. Oh God, forgive me. And I'm sure that if he had responded with deep repentance, God is a very forgiving God. Hezekiah knew he was going to die. He cried to God. God extended his life. David sinned against God. He cried to God, be merciful to me in Psalm 51. And God was gracious to him. But not so. When he was rejected, instead of deep repentance, he turned out to Samuel. He said, Samuel, you know what, Samuel? The elders are all out there. Can you please honor me before all the elders? Because I don't want to lose face. I want honor. The man who seeks for honor, for God to give honor to God, for God to honor God. Active about God's honor. Saul, for God, he was a nobody. God made him first king over Israel. Saul was never active about God. It was always about himself. You know, you can live your Christian life in the same way. It's all about you. God is my needs. It's me, it's me, it's me. David was a man who was active about God, about God's honor. When David went to the Israelites, to the soldier that was standing before the big mouth Goliath. Goliath has a big mouth. 40 days and 40 nights he stand there and he belittled Israel. David stand there and he say, who do you think he is? He defiled the army of the living God. And what Goliath did was put an ugly mark. An ugly mark on Israel's honor. When Israel is honored, God is honored. When Israel is dishonored, God is dishonored. Israel represents God. So do we. When David stood before Goliath, the big mouth giant, it was about God's honor. And David declared these words to Goliath, today the Lord will conquer you and I will kill you and cut off your head. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. That God's reputation, God's honor, God's name needs to be upheld. The Lord rescued his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to me. David knew the importance of God's honor, God's reputation, God's name. God is honor. How? When you put him in the rightful place. Where is God's rightful place? His rightful place is the first place. God is honor when you esteem him, when you reverence him and you respect him. When you put a high value on him. How do you value God? I'm challenged when I was hearing a sermon by a great preacher who has a very big church, and he decided to give up and preach the message of what I used to hear when I was a teenager. And I believe that there is in America a coming back to the gospel, a coming back to righteousness, a coming back to obedience, a coming back to holiness. Put a high value on God. God is honored when you reflect his character. Eli, the high priest, he lost his position and his children the opportunity to continue in his position. And he learned the painful truth. The painful truth when he put his children first before God. And this is what God said to Eli. I will honor those who honor me. I will despise those who think lightly of me. Saul has been a king for 42 years. He was not interested in the ark of God. He was not interested in God's honor. But David, when he became king, just when he became king over Israel, he was about God's honor. And he wants the ark of God. The ark represents the throne of God. Not to be in the house of Abaddon, to be in Jerusalem. the capital that David had set. Jerusalem, the city of the great king. Jerusalem, the city on the hill. Jerusalem, the rightful place for God to dwell among his people. David cares about God's honor. Not so. When he became king, he wastes no time wanting to bring the ark from the house of Abiathar. Saul was a king for 42 years. He never bothered. David placed great honor on God. David was about God's honor, placing God in his first place, in the right place. Do you actively honor God? Is he first in everything of your life and home? I encourage you this week, be active about God's honor with your action, your decision, your thoughts, your lifestyle. Honor his character. Honor his great and holy name. Active about God. About God's honor. Second thing, active about God's presence. You find in verse 2 that David led his men for a purpose to bring back the ark of God. For almost 70 years, the ark has been missing in its rightful place. Where should the ark be? The ark should be in the tent of meeting. 70 years is not in the rightful place. The Philistines captured the ark. Then they found that the ark was too troublesome for them. So they built a nice new cart and sent it back. And the ark on the cart moved to the border of Judah. And it landed in the house of Abiathar. Now David now is determined to have the ark in Jerusalem, because the ark represents God's throne. The ark represents the glorious presence of God. He wants God's presence in Jerusalem, the new capital of Israel. Active about God's presence. Think of this as I was preparing this message. Think of this. All Israelite men have to appear before God 3 times a year. Under Saul, when Saul was king, they came to the tent of meeting year after year. But the ark was not there. Yes, they came to the tent, perform all the religious act, but the ark, the symbol of God's presence, was not there. We need to be active about God's presence. For the Israelites, they continue year after year coming together to the tent of meeting, but the ark was not there. Is it possible to have a great high meeting, a few good meeting, fabricating God's presence with light, sound, and effect, but God's presence is not there? It is possible. We can create atmosphere, but it's not creating atmosphere. We need God's presence. Say amen. Because God's presence will bring 3 C's. It brings confirmation that he is here among us. It will bring conviction. And above all, God's presence will always bring what? Change. David knew the importance of God's presence. David knew how important is God's presence in his own personal life. When you look at 1 Samuel chapter 18, 4 times the Bible said the Lord was with David. All David was, all that he has, and all he achieved was because of God's presence with him. The secret of David's greatness, able to kill Goliath because God was with him. The cause of his victory over his enemy, because God was with him. The reason why he was able to behave wisely before King Saul, because God was with him. And all the success that David had was because God was with him. And now David said, if God's presence is so important in my individual life, I need his presence in the home. I need his presence in this nation of Israel. I need the presence of God in this corporate life. Because David recognized he could not rule in authority and power and have victory without God's presence. He knew that in order to enjoy success, in order to enjoy blessing, in order to have victory over every battle, and as a king, he must judge in order to judge rightly. As a king, he has to take action in order to have the right action. Then he needs who? He needs God's presence. There is nothing more important in your life than the presence of the Lord. God with you. Without God's presence, you are fearful, you are defeated, you are lacking. But God's presence, as the Bible says, is the fullness of joy and is life. You know, last Tuesday, the last Lighthouse, we have studied on the presence of God. KG led us concerning the presence of God. There are some notes that are prepared by him. If you want, you can kind of pick up the notes here. Because we all need to recognize and realize the importance of God's presence. Moses said this, God, if you will not go with me, don't send me. I don't want to go without your presence. Unless your presence is with us. Because God is your presence. That's what Moses said. That set us apart from the world. Be active about his presence. Not just only the promised abiding presence, where he say, I will never let you down, never walk off or leave you, but also active about his tangible presence, that God is in this house, that he is present here. When we worship, when we gather in his name, he is here to manifest himself. Don't take it lightly. Jacob fell asleep. Then he woke up and he said, God is in this place, truly. I did not even know it. Is it possible? Is it possible that God is in this place and we do not even know it? And he was terrified. His whisper in awe, incredible, wonderful, holy. This is God's house. This is the gate of heaven. This morning, God's presence is here. Worship him, reverence him, fear him. Do not take God's presence for granted. Where God's presence is, there is power and freedom. Be active about God's presence over your life, over your home. Do not be like Jacob, asleep and did not know that God was in the house. Wake up from your slumber and sleep and say, God is in this place. Active about God's way. We find from verse 3 to verse 10. Well, Paul, thank you. Thank your daughter for reading. 23 verses, a lot to read. From verse 3 to verse 10 is the passage where they want to bring the ark to Jerusalem. So they built the cart to carry the ark. And while the cart was moving, it came to the threshing floor. And the cart and the ark was about to fall. And Uzzah reached forth his hand and touched it. And straight away, he was killed. And David said, how can the ark come to me? And so the ark stayed in the house of Obed-Edom. Be active about God's way. God's way is not your way. God's way is higher than your way. This is one lesson of life. The end does not justify the means. In our world today, they say it doesn't matter how you get there. Just get there. Get there by hook or by crook. Lie, steal, stab, do anything. Just as long as you get there. But this is one great lesson of life. The end does not justify the means. With God, how you get there is as important as what? Getting there. The only way to carry the ark was on the shoulder of the priest. But they built a new ark. No matter how attractive, amazing, and entertaining is the new ark, it will not do. But the Philistine did it. Yes, they built the new ark to carry, the new cart to carry the ark because they were ignorant. But Israel cannot. Learn this from Luke chapter 12, verse 48. Much is given. Much is what? Required. We have so much knowledge. If I take some of you here to third world country, you could have been a Bible, a great preacher. Because you got so much knowledge. But let me tell you, much is given, much is what? Required. And so to the Israelite, it was not good enough to have a new cut. Because God has told them how it should be done. For a while, when they put the ark on the cart, it moved, it looks okay. For a while, it works. But when God stepped in, and He will, and when He do, beware of His righteous anger. One thing that frightened me is when Peter said, judgment begins in the house of the Lord. I think we come to a time where God's way is not important. It is important. And when the ark moved, Uzzah put up his hand to hold the ark, and he was killed on the spot. This ark had been in the house of Abel-Eden. Uzzah and Aho are the sons of Abel-Eden. They have been in their house for years. Maybe they come to a time to say that he has been in my house for such a long time. I am familiar with the ark. Familiarity breeds content. It can happen to any of us. Remember, God is God. Say amen. He's on the throne. Do not get so familiar with Him that you lose respect, reverence, and fear for Him. Don't. He's not just our Father. He is a holy and righteous God. Always know the two sides of the same coin. Suddenly, when Uzzah got killed, everything stopped. And fear quickened the heart of David. This is what he said. How can the ark come to me? Should not this be the first question that David asked himself when he wants to move the ark? How can the ark come to me? Only when something happened, then David said, hey, how can it? This should be his first question. I wonder, do you ask how before you do what you want to do? God's things must be done in God's ways. The works of flesh will have result, but it will not be lasting result. Only what is done in God's way will have His approval, His empowerment, and His blessing. Take a minute this morning and look at your work. Evaluate your work and your effort. Are they done in God's way, or just I did it my way? Or simply you just do it and say, God bless it. Bless what I'm doing for you, Lord. Or how can I do it in God's way and get God's result and God's blessing? There is no shortcut, say amen. God's way is God's way. If it takes longer, do it God's way, say amen. Because only God's way will last. Lastly, about David, he was active about God's blessing. From verse 11 to verse 15, when he hear the good news that at the house of Obed-Edom where the ark was, and the house was blessed, the house was blessed, the household was blessed. David received this great news. God's blessing is overflowing in the house of Obed-Edom, because Obed-Edom is from the Levite tribes. He was a priest. The ark is at the right place, God's way. And God began to bless. God loves to bless His people, say amen. But it's been done in His way. This good news about God blessing His people brought new courage and new hope to David's heart. He wants God's blessing for himself, his family, his people, and the nation of Israel. God's honor comes first to David before God's blessing. Can I say this? I believe in God's blessing, say amen. But don't become the seeker of God's blessing. Become the seeker of who? Of God. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, the blessing what? Will follow. Don't chase after that and forgot God. It's about God. To David, God's honor comes first before God's blessing. We live in a time where we pursue God's blessing before God's honor, God's presence, or God's way. Such pursuit, if it's not God's first, will make weak and immature believers. I want God's blessing. Come on, you want God's blessing? Put up your hand. God's blessing is promised to the obedience. No other way, to the obedience. Deuteronomy chapter 28, the chapter of God's blessing to the obedient. God's blessing, this is what He said to those who obey Him. God's blessing will lift them up. Amen. They will not be on the floor. They will be lifted up. They will be not on the ground. They will not be beneath. They will be lifted up. And God's blessing will come upon them abundantly. And God's blessing will overtake them. I like the word overtake them. That means God's blessing is going to be much more than you can contain. It will overtake you. Now, I'm driving at 100 miles, 100 km an hour. For God's blessing to overtake me, it has to be faster than 100. This is what the Bible says. God's blessing will overtake you. But it is always to obedience. The house of Obed-Edom, a Levite, and the family of Korah. They are the one commanded by God to carry and take care of the ark. When God's word is obeyed and His holiness is respected, blessing flows. God wants the ark to be a blessing to Israel, not a curse. Cursed did not come from God's heart, but from man disobedient. And when David brought the ark from Obed-Edom to Jerusalem, following God's way, not a new cart, but carried on the shoulder of the Levites, God's presence and God's glory came down. And God's blessing is not just for you, stay with you, and stop with you. the simple basic principle of covenant blessing is bless to bless others. And so David wants God's blessing. It's about God's blessing. And when he took the ark to Jerusalem, this is what he did. God, I want your blessing. And now in verse 19, David blessed the people. Then verse 20, he went home and what? And blessed the household. Because David understands the blessing of God is not to stay with him, but is to be what? Flow to others. I pray for God's blessing on you. But it must not stop with you. It must flow to others. Bless to bless others. And blessing to be a blessing. Amen. And so David danced with all his heart and might before the Lord. He did not hold back anything. He did not dance to show off. But it was a dance of heartfelt worship to God, who appointed him king over his people. During such a great achievement and rejoicing, David, positive action, God's honor, God's presence, God's way, God's blessing, all the positive action. Here you have the wife, Micah, the daughter of Saul, behind the windows. In those days, window is not like our windows where you can open and you see everything. In those days, windows are with letters, so you can only see through the gap. She saw through the gap. He saw David dancing. And her action, she was active in a negative way. And she got angry with her husband. She began to criticize the husband, judge the husband. And when David came back, she told the husband, "Do you know what you are doing? It does not bring honor to you." But David said, "All I did is I honor God. I did everything before God." What happened to Micah? Her negative action make her bedridden all her life. When you allow negative activeness to come into your life, it will cause your physical, emotion, and spiritual well-being. You cannot be negative and think you can live life. She was so negative with her judgment and her criticism that he eats her. It affects her. It affects her life. She became barren. When you are critical and judgmental with this negative action, the root of bitterness will enter your heart. The trouble with the root of bitterness, it does not stop with you. It flows and affects others. I told you that my brother-in-law have a garden and he plant his own vegetables. One side, he planted bitter gourd. Those bitter, how many of you have eaten bitter gourd? The other side, he planted cucumber. He harvested them and he brought it to my house. I don't mind bitter gourd. But when he brings so much, my wife cook every night. Become too much. So, usually when he gives a lot, we bring to the church and give to, we share a bit of bitterness with you. Then, cucumber. Cucumber is very nice when it's cold. So, I took a cucumber and I ate it. Oh, my goodness. The cucumber was bitter. Because the cucumber was planted next to the bitter gourd. And I tell you, cucumber when it's bitter is worse than bitter gourd. Because it's not supposed to be bitter. In the same way, when you mix around with critical people and judgmental people, it affects you. How many of you realize that? It affects you. God wants you to be active for Him by serving Him and serving others. But He also wants you to be active about Him. About Him. It's about God. His honor, His presence, His way, and His blessing. Ask God for new ways to be active about Him. God, how can I love You? How can I love You with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind? How can I? I want to be active about You. Come, let's pray. Not just active for God. Thank God for those who have been serving Him. The Lord bless you. But let's be active about who God is, what God's value, what is important to Him. Let's be passionate about this person who we call life, who we call Savior, who we call Master and Lord. Active about Him. Let Him become the whole focus of your life. As we come to communion this morning, can I have the brethren come and serve communion?